Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think that's a very good attitude.
It's Mike Shope.
You don't think? I don't think you should be butting in when I'm talking to my team. You're my assistant, okay? You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box.
You know who you're talking to.
It's the Bulldog.
I'm talking to the juice box guy.
You're crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm just thirsty.
Why don't you go to hell?
No, you go to hell. While you're there, why don't you grab me a juice box?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Thanks for listening. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. We've talked Josh Allen today, some NHL with the draft coming up Friday, and free agency 2 weeks away. One thing about that has not come up, today at least, is just how big of spenders we think the Sabres will or should be. They put the money into Skinner and they got him to agree to it. Is there another move like that that makes sense for them that you think they would make? Even if it's not that much money, as much money.
I've thought all along that there was reason to believe, going back to the trade deadline and the run-up to the trade deadline, that they were interested in Matt Duchene at his age. I think they have the money for both the short-term and the long-term to do something on that front if they thought they could pull it off. I don't know if they think they can land this player who has, you know, his choice. So if you're paying attention and reading up on, you know, what is expected to happen there, not that that ends up ultimately being correct, you don't really see Buffalo mentioned in that. Like, it's Duchene, it's staying put is an option. Nashville's an idea. Now, if he goes to Nashville, maybe Nashville makes someone else available that you can maybe get in on a trade, Kyle Turris, for example. So we'll see. But I think that they are not against spending a lot of money on a player like that.
They have $20 million of space.
Right.
And they wouldn't want to spend all of that.
No. I think you need – I mean, they have guys to sign, mm-hmm. as much as we don't like much of what is sitting there.
Five players. It could be at least 10.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not gonna trade Jake McCabe, he needs a new contract. And there are other players on that list.
The thing of it is, though, always, you haven't changed your team then.
Right.
You're just counting on another coach – another year older for Mittelstadt, and one or two other such things, better goaltending from the same people. Like, you're counting on stuff like that. You're crossing your fingers is what you're doing.
Yeah, it would. At this point, look, I don't want to overstate this because, you know, you could go through this draft cycle and the free agency and end up nowhere. And we've watched the Sabres do that. I mean, that's kind of what happened last year. I mean, they made the O'Reilly trade, but didn't do anything to fortify the center position, and they paid a dear price for that because Mittelstadt was not ready to take over and even get them 50 points, which was fewer than what O'Reilly had even been giving them. So they fell way short. With that said, having gone through that once, despite the fact that Mittelstadt's another year older, it would really surprise me. I'll stop short of saying shock me, but it would really surprise me if there's enough of a difference in those two if they didn't do something to address that position. Because to just go into the year and say, well, Mittelstadt's a year older and he was highly drafted and has a lot of skill and talent and he's been killing it in the weight room. So we think that that'll turn out. I don't think you can run your pro sports team like that. I think you had a shortcoming, and there is not enough. I'm still hopeful about Mittelstadt, but I wouldn't want to bank on it this year that he is going to be so much more up to what he basically, I mean, to say he failed at it is blaming him, and I don't think it's entirely his fault. I think he was asked to do a lot, and he wasn't ready to do it yet. So I don't think you can go into the season like that. So they have to do something there.
So he could be a trade chip then.
I suppose, but that would also surprise me.
Like, what are you going to do there? Are you going to play him in a lesser role?
Yes.
Because what you're saying is you can't run your team by just rolling him out there in the same one.
Right. I think he plays, he anchors your third line, and until he's ready to do more than that, then that's what he does. And you go out and you find, whether you find top six forwards, whether they're wingers or centers, or you just go out looking for a center, I think you have to do that. I'd love to know. I don't think we've ever really talked in depth with Botterill about Reinhardt at center. All through this year, as it was going on, and they were flawed there, I don't know. I think I failed to ever ask him the question. And not that I would want to bank a lot on what his answer would have been during last season, because it could have evolved to something different by now. But
he's also not the coach.
Right. But there's an answer there if they need it, and they can only find wingers in trade market or free agency, then maybe Reinhardt spells that. And that might be perfect, because he's already on your team, and he's under salary for a reasonable price this year. And if Mittelstadt ascends, even as early as midway through this year, then fine. Then I can just figure out my depth, and I can move Mittelstadt up there and have him anchor that second line, maybe with Reinhardt on one of the wings, if Mittelstadt shows that he's capable of that. So I haven't really gone out and overspent on a replacement for a second line center. I just have one. I'm moving him over there for the time being. And maybe that's a way to just find to bridge the gap between when Mittelstadt is fully formed and right now. But they're going to need a couple of forwards. At least one top six forward has to be acquired somehow.
You think?
Yes. I don't see any way around it. That's either a center, or that's someone to play the wing, because Reinhardt's not, because he's moving to center. But they're going to have to find their way to that player if they're going to do something substantial to the roster.
Well, who is the perfect player for that? I mean, I don't know. I'm not asking you to name somebody who's necessarily available, but who do you want?
Boy, the guy that Philly's talking to now that they acquired
Hayes?
The rights to would have been nice.
Yeah, I like that.
But that seems, you know.
What about Vesey?
Probably unlikely.
Is that what Vesey would be?
I don't think
that's weird.
I don't think he's a top six forward. He's not produced like a top six forward. Now, he's been on some pretty bad Ranger teams, but I don't think he's much of a play driver. I don't know. Like, if you wanted to trade for him to have him play this role that you were describing for Pominville, okay. Like, I'm going to get some goals. He's talented enough, but he's not. I'm not putting him. I think we were caught up in it. Who was it? Was it Ryan Lambert? Someone who very closely follows college hockey, like, warned us. We had him on, and he said, like, he's not that good. Like, he's good, but don't assume he's going to step in and be like a top line winger for you or something. And I think so far his career has kind of borne that out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny, you know, that they are talking to him, and it would be weird to go acquire him when he chose to not come here, even though the Sabres had his rights.
You have to trade for him, right?
You have to trade for him. I'm very.
That'd be funny.
Yes, I'm not against it because of the funny aspect of it. I'm just very, it doesn't really move me either way. Like, okay, great.
I feel like we'd have to be saying, I'd want to be saying, don't give this guy a hard time now.
Right.
Because he didn't choose Buffalo. Yeah. Anybody who ever does that at all is just is in for it.
But directly, does he address what I'm describing? No. I think if you get him, you still need someone on top of him. Someone better than that to play a more prominent role. I don't think he's that guy. At least so far, his career has not borne that out.
Okay.
So, you know, is Tampa have a guy that I can pry free? You know, that I'm telling you, that just gets you back to Ristolainen. It just does. They Tampa is stacked as they are and have been. They are losing defensemen. They've got guys that are free agents that they probably can't afford to sign, period. And while Ristolainen isn't cheap, in a role on that team, he might be nice for them. Like, he could look on Tampa not playing the best guys, being given offensive zone starts, he might be a guy that we watch from afar and go, oh, yeah, that's working.
Well, that's the one thing about them that's so impressive is like they took Dan Girardi on and put the best regular season record down ever. Like they have taken guys, and Travis has made this point on this show, Travis Yost, how they've taken guys like that and, you know, it's worked. So I don't, there should be a limit to that, but yeah, like he would probably, everybody looks good in that uniform because of their record, you know, like everybody looks good in that uniform. So, well, it's kind of the fun part. One of the fun things about it is at the same time, oh, $20 million, they could sign another free agent, but you have at least five interesting RFAs to deal with, including Rodriguez, who I think they should really pay. And I'm probably at $10 million-ish, $9 million in those five guys. Olmark is one of them. McCabe is one of them. The others are Larson's and Gergensen's. Now, maybe you just walk away from one of them.
Yeah.
But you're still, like, if you have $20 million in cap space without doing anything else, then you address that.
You're burning through almost half of it doing that, yeah.
Yeah, probably. Right. And then... you want to sign anybody, anything close to high end, then you're...
That's it.
The more important thing is getting guys off the team.
Mm-hmm.
Figuring out ways. And the league lets you do that. Through buyouts, through waivers, through teams who are dumb. Like, the league will make... It is possible. You are not stuck. So that is the thing that needs to happen.
Right. You can do it. You can do it yourself. Or you can get someone to help you by taking a guy and you pay them to take the guy. If you can make a hockey trade with Ristolainen that gets you some version of what I'm describing, a top six forward, whether it's a winger or a second line center, but that's the centerpiece of the return on Ristolainen. That's $5.4 million. Now I'm going to pay that forward. He might have a contract already. Who knows? I might be burning some of this cap room in a trade with Tampa, bringing Ryan Callahan here just to do them the favor of giving me a player that I covet off their roster. But that's the kind of trade that I'd have to make with Scandella. If I can find my way to that, you want Nylander, you're taking Scandella, and you're giving me something to play on my bottom two lines, and okay, fine. But what I've done is I've found $9 million there between Ristolainen and Scandella. And again, I'm paying whatever forwards I get in the trade with Ristolainen, some of that cap room. But I'm making that work. That adds to my cap room. If I can divest myself of Scandella and I have to pay an asset to make it happen. But the cap room is valuable, obviously.
So there's things you covet and there's things you don't covet. And in that category, yes, Joe?
I was going to say, if this were the NBA, a little inspiration from the Raptors here, and you want to do a Kawhi Leonard thing, you could trade for Taylor Hall, who's got 1 year left and doesn't want to sign with the Devils.
That's fun.
Yeah.
What do the Devils want?
Probably a lot.
Yeah, Mittelstadt. That's the guy. Like, you know, last year I brought this up, but I tiptoed into this.
Right,
like,
and I think I yelled at you.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's in hindsight, it should have been taken seriously because you just... You know what, it another season away. And part of the reason you did that was you made him playing every night, learning the ropes and all that, a priority. And it didn't work. I mean, I can't say it just that flatly. The guy has a nice career. You know how sports does it. They'll say it was important that he had that season. But you weren't good.
It didn't help you last year, right?
So it should have been taken seriously as an idea. And maybe it was. I mean, I never heard anybody really talk about it. Now you're kind of in this place where, yeah, you need to. You're in largely the same position as you were a year ago. You have a new coach, but you've got the top end talent. You saw what Dahlin was, but you had every reason to expect that. It was right to expect that, and I mean, people did. So you're kind of the same thing. You're 1 year closer to being out from three or four or five really bad deals. You're closer to that. And maybe you're going to say that's why there's one more year to put up with before you really can kill it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Like, it should at least be taken seriously. And there's lots of things about them that need work. Maybe you get somewhere with the collection of Nylander, Asplund, even Olofsson, C.J. Smith. I guess Thompson too. Like he's in that group. Maybe you get somewhere with those guys, and then give me one kind of a stud, like one top six forward to go with, and then I can pretty much be there up front. That's a little presumptuous because their bottom six forwards get them killed. And that's where the bigger gap is between the Sabres and the rest of the league. It's the rest of it. So am I expecting to have fixed that by calling up Rochester?
Right.
That's tough. I mean, you have a couple guys who you've acquired, like Sherry is somebody that could be this. You have a couple guys you've acquired that you could fit in there, even if Pominville resigns, you know, like there you can. You're someplace already, but you're not good yet.
No, right. Even you might hope that Asplund makes one of Gergensen's or Larson expendable. He can come in here and claim a spot in one of those bottom six roles as a centerman, and like one of those two guys, he replaces one of those two guys. So that's younger, that's different, that's hopefully better. But you don't know that it's going to be better. It might be completely the same. You know, production wise, performance wise, you don't know. But yeah, I mean, like, what do you need more? Do you need Taylor Hall more than you need to fill that part of your roster out?
Well,
I mean,
arguably, at least arguably, yes, because of how good he is.
Right.
I mean, that's a major move. That'd be a major impact. It should be. And then, you know, everybody else gets pushed down, right? When you trade for an ace pitcher, then all the other pitchers are that much better.
And the Kawhi point is, like Joe said, he's only got the 1 year left. So you make that trade, and maybe it's a little like Skinner. Do I know I can resign you? Do I even want to? Or is everyone just going to play the game of he wants to get there and then we'll see? I mean, you're definitely to acquire him, even with just the 1 year. You are not getting away with Cliff Poo and a second round pick. Like, it's just not happening. So you are trading something that is way more important to you than that. And then that gets a little scary. Part of the reason it turned out fine with Skinner here, right? But when the trade is made, well, they're not going to sign him. Oh, it's okay. I really didn't give up anything anyway. So if he leaves, that'll suck. But I will not have gotten burned on the return in the trade.
This is what makes Ristolainen so interesting. Because he could be such a player. If Adam Larson can get you Taylor Hall, then Ristolainen maybe can get you Taylor Hall. Like, he should be such a player that somebody or a lot of somebodies in the NHL go, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I mean, they would know this by now probably if he were available, but like sort of go big for. You have these guys in fantasy where you know they're good, but like if other people like them more than you do, move them. That's what you do. You move. Like, whoever it might be, if the league likes the player more than you do, and this is where I think the Sabres should have been years ago, if the league likes the player more than you do, then you move the player, and that's it. And it's easy for me to talk like that and for fantasy to seem comparable. You know, still, I mean, it's real life and it's real people, but still, like, that's the job here.
Yep.
The job is to do that. And so he could still be that player. It just depends on how much the Sabres like him.
Yeah. And there's no reason to think that New Jersey doesn't adore Taylor Hall. But what they should be considering here is, if I were them, I'm drafting. They're getting Jack Hughes, right? They're drafting first, right? The Rangers are going to get Kako. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. So you just had Heischer 2 years ago was number one. Now you're getting another number one. I would want an answer from Taylor Hall. Are you going to sign or not? Because if you're not, now is the time to do that.
For Jersey.
Yeah. You're getting Jack Hughes in there. You've already got Heischer in here. Move him. If that gets you Casey Mittelstadt, then you do that. If that gets you Rasmus Ristolainen and some other stuff, then you do that, or any other team in the league, and just keep moving. I know you're pushing your timeline back because you're counting on 19 and 20-year-olds to come carry your franchise, but that's what you got to do. You can't let this guy go into a walk here. I don't think.
I guess. You know, the Kawhi Leonard comparison applies also for the team that has him to a point.
That's right.
Columbus had what was considered a successful result, I think, by keeping those guys like they did. And then you want to know the fate of the GM and the situation there. Like, do I need to win?
Right. That's Ray Shiro in Jersey.
Yeah. He's a name. Like, he might not. That might not apply in that case.
Right.
803-0550. We'll talk to Paul Hamilton later. Some more hockey. And the final outcome and decision on, are Bloody Marys good? Stay tuned and find out if Bloody Marys are good. That'll come your way after what?
Of course they're good.
No.
Whether you guys.
This is a tease.
All right, go ahead.
Thanks for ruining it.
All right.
No, we will decide if they're good, and then you'll know. That's how. Sports is next on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Blackhawks had said as recently as the combine that they had six players that they were considering for the third pick. I also heard recently Steve Yzerman said something along the lines of six players. I think it's going to be potentially, you know, around that level for the Sabres. It's really a matter of that there's a large group of players that you could pick from. I think they're probably the same for everybody, and I would assume that the Sabres are very much thinking off of a similar list as those teams.
Chris Peters, ESPN.com today. Working on putting the finishing touches on a Josh McCown game.
Ah, yes.
Josh McCown played five games. This is kind of cool. This is not the game. This is just a thing.
Uh-huh.
Josh McCown played five games against the Bills. Four for the Jets late in his career, like the last couple of years. And then one for Arizona at the stadium when it was like a really awful day in 2004 and his running back was Emmitt Smith. Like, so he had five games in his career against the Bills that would have been like 12 or so years in between.
Yeah. I remember this coming up on the Wheel of Drought that Emmitt Smith had been, like, this game I think came up on the Wheel of Drought, and I still, you know, that was just a couple of summers ago that we spent a lot of time with the wheel in here and everything, and we'd spin it. In that short an amount of time, I have completely bleached my memory of that ever happening. I just don't. Emmitt Smith playing a game for the Cardinals in Buffalo doesn't exist. I don't have it at all.
One of the games, I'm saying he played five for the Jets. He did not appear in one of them. He was on the team.
Okay.
Like the Darnold game at the stadium last year. He does not play in that game.
Right. Okay.
He did play in the game at the Jets when the Bills blew him out. Darnold was hurt, I think.
Yeah, he was hurt the first time they played it. Yeah, both Allen and he were hurt the first time. Yeah.
Then the two games in 2017 where they beat the Jets on a Thursday night. Is that right? They lost here week one with, this is 2017 now.
They played them on a Thursday night and lost kind of badly.
To the Jets.
Yeah,
to the Jets. This is that game.
Yeah,
that's the game I mean.
Okay, sorry.
Thursday night.
Yeah, the Jets beat the Bills. Right, yeah, yeah.
So it's four games.
Yeah. That I remember because that game happened, and that Friday I was on with you late from Grey Bruce, Ontario, which is up near Owen Sound. We had made a trip up there on a Friday for a pair of games on Saturday, and that Friday was the day after the Jet game. And I was not here at work for that.
2004, Cardinals at Bills. This is a great Wheel of Drought game to spin.
Mm-hmm.
I would sometimes spin the Wheel of Drought when it was just me, and I would spin it and hope that this game would come up.
Uh-huh. I think it definitely did come up. I know. The only reason it rings a bell is because of that, and I still don't remember anything about it now.
Halloween of 2004, the Bills are on their way to that run that ends with the loss to the Steelers. Josh McCown is the Arizona quarterback, 9 for 24, 101, and a touchdown pass to Bryant Johnson late in that game. Drew Bledsoe, 8 for 17, 81, two touchdown passes, one to Eric Moulds, one to Tim Ewes.
Tim Ewes.
It was super windy.
E-U-H-I-S?
E-U-H-U-S.
Ugh. Damn it, so close.
Emmett Smith.
One vowel.
22 for 64 rushing and 1 5-yard reception. Troy Hambrick, 13 for 53 rushing. Larry Fitzgerald, 5 targets, no catches. Anquan Boldin, 9 targets, 4 catches for 50.
Former Bill Anquan Boldin.
Former Bill Anquan Boldin. There should be like a name for that. Like the guys who were really technically not Bills, but were.
They're almost Bills.
They're almost Bills, right? Yeah. Like they. I mean, is Antonio Brown an almost Bill?
No, not the same way that these guys are. They're actually on the team at practice.
But more literally, yes.
But don't make it out of camp.
He almost was a Bill.
Right, that's true. Vince Young, almost Bill.
Willis McGahee in this game, right, 30 for 102 and 2. Joe Burns.
Joe Burns.
4 for 27. Wow. So.
Still don't know.
Bloody Marys. Okay.
Are great.
I think you would believe this. I think you would give me this benefit of the doubt. I tried.
Yeah, I figured you would.
We had our draft Saturday at Shango. They put us up. Loved it. It was a great time. Ryan Gates won the league. He got to pick the food. And he said, as we mentioned last week, he said, just give me a bunch of food I can dump sausage gravy all over and Bloody Marys with pickle juice. God, what a great place. Andouille sausage frittatas, fried chicken and waffles, red beans and rice, shrimp and grits. Like, what a great place.
I thought about crashing your draft.
Oh.
Saturday, I had to go to Rochester eventually, like around 12:30, I had to leave. I had to be ready to get on the road for Rochester, 12:30. On the road to Rochester, like I was driving to Omaha, but whatever. And you tweeted a picture at about 10:45, maybe. I saw a picture of a Bloody Mary fixins, and I thought, I live like a mile and a half or 2 miles from this place. I should just go over there. I know a few of the people anyway. Joe, Ryan, yourself.
Kevin Payne.
Kevin Payne, sure, Jeremy. I would have thought anyway.
I would have thought as well. Yeah. I expected to see Jeremy.
Yeah, but I couldn't make it happen. But I thought the menu sounded great. I figured it would be great. And I love Bloody Marys.
Well, I decided to try it before everybody got there, but there might have been one other person there. And, in the spirit of it, I love to drink, so I thought I would like it. I really did. I thought I would like it.
Did it have the pickle juice in it?
Yes.
Because I don't know that I've ever had one with pickle juice in it, actually.
And I would tell you, now I've never had a Bloody Mary, but I would tell you that's what it smelled like. It smelled like pickle juice.
Yeah.
And it looked like tomato juice. And both of those are bad. Both of those things for me are bad.
Yeah.
It's just like viscous, right? Like it's just sort of, you take a drink and you put it down and it's all over the side of the glass.
Uh-huh. Yes, for sure. That's what you're going to get there. Yeah.
And I just really couldn't look at it. And taste-wise, I was surviving, but it was a fight. Mm. And then I had my draft. You know what? Let me have one of those breakfast stouts instead. I'm just going to pivot over there to the breakfast stout.
Yeah.
So I didn't.
And that was that then.
I mean, I will probably never have another one.
Hmm.
And, I think, and this, I want to make sure I come across this way, the place, I have such high regard for this place and for Jim Guarino, like, of course it's good.
Of course they made. They made you a good cocktail.
Yes.
It's a you problem.
Yes. Yeah. Pickle juice, Worcestershire sauce, hot sauce, horseradish, tomato juice, of course.
That all sounds great. Vodka.
Garlic. Vodka. It was garlic in it. Yeah. And vodka. And I like all that stuff except the tomatoes. I want to come up with a drink that has all that in it but not tomato juice.
Mm.
That's what I want to come up with. Like an orange juice or something with all that in there. Screwdriver with horseradish and garlic.
I would tell you removing the pickle juice doesn't change the viscosity of the cocktail. So you're still going to have that same – it's the tomato juice really at work there more than anything else. I don't think I've ever had one with pickle juice, and I don't know that I would want the taste overwhelmed by pickle juice or that I would want the scent of that as I'm drinking it. So I can't comment about specifically what was going on Saturday. So I'm feeling like maybe the pickle juice tilted it.
Maybe. How about for you?
Yeah, I built it together. I'm like, all right, I'm going to take a serious run at this thing. I made it. I put the horseradish, just a little bit, some hot sauce. I put one of everything in it.
You put all that stuff in. I did not do
all
that.
All of it.
I did not do that because it was already in there.
I'm like, I want the full experience. So, and then I took about two sips and thought it was the grossest thing I've ever had in my life. I set it on the table, and Ryan Gates drank the rest of it.
So you did load it up. Olives.
Yes.
Pickles or whatever.
Lemon, lime.
Pickles out.
Celery.
Right, right.
Hunks of
bacon.
There
was no celery, but there was the red cherry peppers. Is that what they were? Cherry
yep.
peppers?
Pickled peppers is what they were. Those were pickled peppers. Yeah. Peter Piper picked a peck of those once.
How'd that go?
The question is, how many did he pick, though?
I don't remember how many it was.
A pound?
I think it was the pickle juice that really made it gross for me. Because as I'm drinking it, I'm like, I didn't grab clamato, whatever it is, by accident, did I? Because it tasted a little funny. And I'm like, it's probably the pickle juice. And I think that's really what...
Yeah.
I don't think I would have liked it anyway, but I think that amplified the grossness of
it. I am not savvy enough about the construction of this particular cocktail to know whether or not, like, any place I've been going for them has had pickle juice as part of the recipe, and I just don't know it. But I feel like that would be a pretty big game changer. I like the stuff hanging out there. Like, if you want to give me a pickle to, like, dip in there, maybe, like, I might do that, but I don't know about pickled juice.
Can you imagine that?
In the drink.
You're out with Bulldog. He's got a Bloody Mary. Like, did I hear Bulldog say once that if you give him a pickle, he would consider dipping it in there? Everybody remember that.
I'm going to put it right in there.
Everybody remember that in case you see him.
Scrape a little of the pepper off the rim of the glass. Just go to
maybe that's like a sort of a standing offer from you, is that wherever you are,
sure.
If somebody sees you and they give you a pickle, you will consider dipping it into whatever you're drinking.
Is there not anything.
We're not going that far?
No, I'm going with this cocktail itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's just so much else out there that's good.
Yeah.
That's it. There's so much else out there that's good. I did not even get to the gin one.
I do like the Caesar more. That's spicier. That's with the clamato, not with tomato juice. And it might be subtle, but it's spicier. And that's usually what I go for. If I'm getting something at a brunch that is that sort of cocktail, I will go with the Bloody Caesar as opposed to the traditional Bloody Mary necessarily.
All right. So the Bloody Mary test has passed. The draft has passed. A little bit of a letdown this morning. Because it's Monday morning, I'll start to get to work on my fantasy stuff. Monday is a big baseball day for that, but not having that urgency with the football draft, I felt like that was missing a little bit. I thought about taking a nap like you instead, but
yep.
No, just a little sad over it. It's over. Now we'll have a season. Bulldog, I have 14 wide receivers on this team.
That seems like a lot.
It's way too many out of 24, or actually 27, I think. I have to cut three guys by Labor Day.
So more than 50% of your roster is receivers.
Yes, yes.
I mean,
and
it is fantasy football. You don't have any linemen, but still, that's a lot.
That's right. And no number ones. Out of 14 guys, my best guy is probably Chris Godwin. I am like, I basically, my wide receiver, I'm the Bills.
You're the Bills. I was going to say, that's a joke.
The Bills have a bunch of wide receivers. Is there a number one wide receiver there? Like, that is my team. All these wide receivers, D.D. Westbrook, Christian Kirk, Marvin Jones. Who did I get Saturday? A.J. Brown from Tennessee. Isabella from Arizona. All these wide receivers. Michael Gallup. Devontae Parker. That's half of them at least. There's no number ones.
Gotta do a better job than that.
I'm still paying for that first draft when I did not land a top wide receiver, and I'm still paying for that. And I knew it immediately. Like, I'm going to pay for this for years. Because who's going to give me that player? What do I have to give up? What do I have to give up? I mean, it's just not happening. So I'm stuck. We don't have free agency in this. They're your players forever. Anyway, Paul Hamilton coming up in 15 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. You can reach us at 803-0550. This is WGR.
Bidding for the WGR Celebrity Golf Tournament is available to you at our website, WGR550.com. The tournament will be at Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course in Lewiston. We're auctioning off an opportunity for you to play with any number of the celebrities, Danny Gare, Diane Dunleavy, Andrew Peters among them, plus your entire on-air staff here at the station. Howard, Jeremy, Sal, Mike, myself. It's a fun day. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, drinks, and the golf course is beautiful. There's prizes, sports memorabilia auction. It's a full day of fun at Seneca Hickory Stick. So get on it, WGR550.com, the WGR Celebrity Golf Tournament, Monday, July 8th, presented by Dr. Beyer Optical Group. For a look that's on fire, call Dr. Beyer, call 646-EXAM, with support from Encore Golf, Buffalo's only innovative golf ball company, and Michelob Ultra.
All right, the band needed to keep going there for you.
Yeah, man.
Modest Mouse. So this reminds me, like, my son has, I'm still going to keep going. Yeah, why stop now? My son has to play his saxophone for moving up day at Heath this week at school.
All right.
Because the fifth graders graduate. And my memory of doing that when I was a kid was pomp and circumstance, just over and over and over until you couldn't even stand it anymore. I don't know how many times, like 20 times, 50 times in a row, you just keep playing it until all the kids come through. Probably that's like high school, not fifth grade, but kind of like that just was. Well, there's no time for it really here, and we have Paul scheduled, but this Josh McCown game I have is a good one.
Oh, well, I don't want to cut into Paul.
Do you think Paul would come on tomorrow?
I can't imagine he's going to be happy sitting around all day waiting for us to call him at 6 o'clock.
If he has rearranged anything for this, then let's do this. But if he hasn't and he doesn't mind, let's play the Josh McCown game. Maybe his compromise will be, I want to play too.
Yeah, that could be.
That's fine.
All right.
But
let me reach out to Paul. I'll let you know how that goes.
All right. So we'll either have Paul, the Josh McCown game, or both after sports. And we'll talk more Josh Allen next hour. We did some of that earlier today. Joe has the nightcap tonight, right? That's at 7. There's no more finals of anything.
No, right.
To give you?
Nope, just me.
So it's Joe time. It's go time for Joe time. Mike Morial, NHL.com, with us tomorrow as the draft is Friday. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.